Our study tonight is out of Leviticus chapter 25, 1-7, heeding God's call to counter covetousness through himself. Those of us who live in the Western world might not consider ourselves idolaters because we don't bow down to graven images, but that doesn't mean that we're not tempted with idolatry, because a subtle form of idolatry is materialistic covetousness. Colossians 3:5 says, covetousness, which is idolatry. It actually defines it as such. Well, in Leviticus chapter 25, 1-7, stipulations were given to teach Israel to trust God for her material needs versus relying on her possessions or income themselves for that security. So we view that passage for insight. Let me just read the verses and then we'll look at them. Leviticus chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, now this particular command came when he was way back at Sinai. That's back in Exodus chapter 20. Okay. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune the vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest for the land, Sabbath for the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. That which grows of its own accord of your harvest you will not reap, neither gather the grapes for your vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be food for you and for your servant and for your maid, for your hired servant and for the alien who sojourns with you, and for your cattle and for the wild animals that are in the land. All of the increase thereof shall be food. Now there are other stipulations that we'll touch on in other passages, but this is a very interesting section of Scripture. The Lord directed Moses when he was still at Mount Sinai to tell the people of Israel that once they possessed the land of Canaan, they were to let it lie fallow. Every seventh year, they could sow their fields and harvest the land's crops for 6 consecutive years to market the produce. But every seventh year, they could neither sow nor reap the land's produce for the purpose of marketing. Incidentally, farmers have found that letting the land lie fallow every 5th, 6th, or 7th year is very good for the land. You actually increase the produce of the land over time. The land does actually need opportunity to rest, and the nutrients in the rocks and the soil and so forth can break down and better serve. But God wanted this for a spiritual reason. Everyone in Israel, be they landowners, dependents, aliens living in their midst, or even the animals, could eat of the crops of the field for their immediate daily sustenance. Now, you couldn't harvest these crops to take them in a bushel basket and then take them to market to sell. But you could go out into the field, you could eat the grapes right off the vineyard, providing you ate them right there. You couldn't put in a box or in a vessel to store them. You could go out and harvest the grain. You could go out and harvest maybe some olives off of the olive tree. You, the animals, foreigners, the poor people, anybody could go anywhere throughout the land and just eat of the crops, because it was really the Lord's produce. Now, if the people were concerned about having enough food to eat without working the land in that seventh year, God promised to provide enough of a yield each sixth year that it would supply for the needs for the next 3 years, giving them room financially to observe the land Sabbath. Let's skip down to verses 20 to 22. Verse 20, and if you shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow or gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for you for 3 years. In other words, it'll be triple the amount that you normally would get. And you shall sow the eighth year and eat yet of the old fruit until the ninth year, and her fruits will come in, you shall eat the old thereof. So let me describe what's going on here. In the sixth year, God promised that he would cause the land to produce 3 times the usual amount of crops. This is very similar to on Friday when they were in the wilderness and they were eating by manna. God said, I'm going to give you a double portion of manna, so I don't want you to out looking for manna on the Sabbath. And that manna will stay over for 2 days, 48 hours. Now, the other manna, it would spoil overnight, but not that manna. That way, they wouldn't have to go out. So God says, we're going to do the same thing when it comes to the land. In the sixth year, I'm going to give you a huge crop, 3 times the amount that you normally would get. Now, why? That crop yield would feed Israel that sixth year, And for the seventh year where the land lay fallow, as well as feed them for the eighth year when the next round of crops had been sown and was growing after the seventh year land Sabbath, so they could all materially function into the ninth year. You see, when you let the land lie fallow for the seventh year, that's fine. But beginning the eighth year, you don't have any crops because you didn't have any seed that was produced. So God says, you know, I'm going to give you something so you can sow. And then you have to wait the whole year until that crop comes in. So until the ninth year, you're going to have plenty of food. So this is a tremendous blessing that the Lord had. Now, the people had to operate on faith that God was going to provide for them. And that was the key. So he was trying to train them that he was their real provider, not the land. The Lord was. Now, something else happened. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, we have an instruction as to what was supposed to happen at this particular Sabbath. We know from Deuteronomy 30, this land Sabbath rest was to cause Israel to focus on God's law that was to be read to the nation each land Sabbath's Feast of Tabernacles. Let me read that. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 10, Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, that's when they would release their slaves, and the Feast of Tabernacles, that would occur in September, when all Israel has come to appear before the Lord your God in the place that he shall choose, that would be Jerusalem, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, children, the alien that is within your gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land where you go over the Jordan to possess it. So incidentally, this is one reason why I feel very comfortable teaching out of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy to children who are here. Because this law was to be read in the hearing of children for them to take. So what God wanted them to do in this year in which they weren't going to have to be working out in the field, it was sort of a big Sabbath rest for them, they would get there and God would read the law. Incidentally, this is one reason why we found in Jesus' day the whole law was read to each child 3 times. By the time he gained his adulthood at his bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah at age 13, each child was exposed to the law 3 times through. Then they read it more often than this, than every seventh year. But this way there would be a regular intake, and everybody got to know all of the word that was there. And so it was accessible. When they talked about commands, you got to do this or that, or the priest mentioned it, everybody was aware of it because there was a general Bible knowledge. This is desperately needed. I really feel that it's very important for parents regularly to read through the Bible with their children, or a children's Bible storybook or something, you know, that they can understand. But to get through the Word, there's nothing like getting the Word of God into the mind of a child who is impressionable. And that's exactly what God wanted at this particular time of the year. So this reading of the law would remind the people of their need to revere the Lord so as to obey Him in their lives. Now, since the people were supposed to focus on revering the Lord in that land Sabbath year, this reverence would drive them to realize that it was not the wealth they could earn from sowing and harvesting their crops that was to be the source of their livelihood security, but that God was their true supplier of all such livelihood needs. Dr. J. Vernon McGee has a series of books on Through the Bible. He was a Bible teacher before he went home to be with the Lord. And he pointed out, and I have a copy of his work here on Leviticus, he pointed out that the key reason why you had the land Sabbath, God was trying to teach the people of Israel to overcome covetousness. They were supposed to learn that it wasn't the land that was feeding them. It wasn't their money that they were making from the land. It was God. So you never forget the job that we have, the money that we have in the bank, the money that we have invested, our individual retirement accounts or whatever, that's all from the Lord. Our health, it's from the Lord. And we have to remember that. It's all from Him. Now, besides, as Leviticus chapter 25, verse 2 mentioned, the land did not really belong to the people of Israel. It belonged to the Lord. You'll notice, he says in verse 2 of Leviticus 25, speak to the children of Israel. Say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then you shall keep a land Sabbath to the Lord. He does this again in verse 23, the same chapter. If you skip down to verse 23, he says, the land shall not be sold on a permanent basis. In other words, you could sell the land temporarily because of financial needs that came up and so forth. For the land is mine, for you are aliens and tenants with me. God indicated, you don't really own the land. It's mine. I've always felt that way. This is the first time I've ever owned land when I came here to Nepog. And we bought the property, bought it from Rick Hardy, who used to be one of the elders here at Nepog Church. And I've never felt that that's really mine. I've always felt that's the Lord's. And I think that's the way the Lord wants us to really. Actually, everything is the Lord's. Everything in the house, the car, you know, what pets we might have, the garden. It's all the Lord's. The trees out front, it's all God's. And we need to remember that constantly. So, God's people were to submit to the supreme landowner, God. Now, what's sad is that Israel never did keep her land Sabbath rest. So in her national discipline in the Babylonian captivity, God kept Israel in captivity 1 year for every land Sabbath year that she failed to honor. If you look ahead to Leviticus chapter 26, beginning at verse 33, you'll see that God had a clear warning in regards to the need for the people to observe this. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 33, he's talking about what would happen if they sinned and they were to go into captivity. Verse 33 says, I will scatter you among the Gentiles and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because you did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. God warned them, you better keep the land Sabbaths, because if you don't, when you go into captivity, for every year that you didn't keep the land Sabbath, you're going to be 1 year in captivity. Now what happened is, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, tells us that when they went into captivity, they were going to stay there for a set number of years. And that, of course, would be in fulfillment of this. But let me just look at that passage. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. Jeremiah is saying, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return. Why 70 years? The reason is explained in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 20 and 21. Now, if a land Sabbath occurred every seventh year, and they'd missed 70 of those, they'd missed 70 times 7, they'd missed 490 years. They hadn't observed a single land Sabbath. So God says, all right, you will observe it. My land will rest, and it will rest for 70 consecutive years because you missed all those land Sabbaths. And that's going to remind Israel, listen, we messed up. We were too greedy for those crops in that seventh year. We should have trusted the Lord. So, when the prophet Jeremiah predicted Israel would be in the Babylonian captivity for 70 years, Jeremiah 29:10, this time was set, since Israel had missed 70 sets, land Sabbath years that had accumulated in the 490 years of time since she had been in the land of Canaan. Huge lesson. Israel was to avoid the sin of covetousness by observing the land Sabbath years, trusting God, the true landowner of Canaan, to provide for her material needs lest she suffer loss and discipline. In application, may we look to God as our all-sufficient supplier of our livelihood needs. Then, if the Lord has let us become materially impoverished in some way, may we examine our hearts to see if He is using the shortage to critique the sin of materialistic idolatry in our lives. And if so, to repent in looking back to God as our livelihood provider, as Israel was to do in Babylon. The Lord did this to me in our first church. I left the first church ministry mainly because I wanted a salary increase going into the second church. Lasted in the second church a total of 7 months. And then we ended up in my parents' home in Dallas while they were touring in the mission field. We got down to a total of $1 buying power. And
And at that point, then the Lord began to provide in wonderful ways. My brother happened to sell his van, and he gave us $1,000 so we could live off of. He flew us to California for Christmas that particular year. We came back. We got accepted at NEPOG. We were still living off that $1,000. And the bank up here laid aside the money for us to borrow towards the house. I didn't have any income. I've never heard of a bank doing that. And nobody else has here, but they set it aside. And so we purchased the home and everything. But I learned from that, that was the wrong reason to shift gears. And so the Lord wants us to remember our income comes from Him. We need to look to Him. And I've seen this kind of thing happen in the lives of other Christians too. When you get to focusing on money as your security or as your source, and that becomes a determining factor as to what you do, look out. Because the Lord's very jealous of that. The Bible says you can't serve God and money. You either serve one, and the master of one or the other is a master of you. So we need to be very careful to remember the Lord and to look to the Lord.